TSN 1200 presents the Jim K. Ford Lincoln postgame show. Coming up, a complete analysis of tonight's game, including calls, texts, and emails. But first, tonight's three stars, brought to you by Canadian Tire, Canada's Garage.
Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sense postgame show. Ottawa falls 3-1 to the New York Rangers, the struggling Rangers, the struggling Arrow Halak. Cure for that?
Yeah.
Date with the Ottawa Senators. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to the three stars on the other side. We're just waiting for head coach DJ Smith to address the media. I'm anticipating it being quick. I can already feel the tone, the text coming in about relieving the head coach of his duties, and there was a chant with about 5 minutes left in the third period that you could hear in the Ranger end. I think it was in the 300s, but there was definitely a chant to fire the head coach. We'll see what the analysis of tonight's loss was, but Shooter, good first period. They couldn't follow it up tonight and ultimately fall 3-1 to the Rangers.
Yeah, the game just wore down on them, and you can point to Halak being excellent tonight, but still, when the game was in doubt, there wasn't enough urgency there, Creech.
He was excellent, but I think Sens fans are tired of seeing backup netminders and journeymen not that Halak's a journeyman, but in other cases there have been, come in and play their best game of their career against the Senators. It's here's head coach DJ Smith.
Execution, I think offensively. We had chances to shoot where we didn't shoot, maybe too cute. In a 2-1 game, and you're passing up, some grade A looks, and then it's 3-1, you're squeezing it. But, I just didn't think we got to the net enough.
You mentioned at 2-1, you felt like you passed up some chances. You guys had a power play there at 2-1. What did you see out of that group in that 2 minutes? It just kind of felt like they didn't quite seize the moment.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, the power play's been good. I mean, that's, the penalty kill did a good job over there, but we had a couple good looks, and whether they blocked them or we didn't shoot, we didn't make the goalie save it. And I think in those opportunities, you got to make the goalie save the puck.
How did you feel the energy of the group was tonight?
You know what? I thought we battled hard. I didn't think there was a lot of room out there. Give the Rangers credit for how hard they played away from the puck, the way they tracked. They had lost three in a row. I thought we had a real good first period. I think it could go either way. We just, they got to the net on us and tipped. I think they tipped all three in. And, we got to knock people down.
The shot that Broussard was on the line, did you think it was going to get reviewed?
No, they called right from the back that it was no goal. But, the difference is they tipped three in and we didn't.
There's head coach DJ Smith reacting to another loss on home ice here, 3-1 to the Rangers. We will get to your phone calls and texts in our next segment, the hardest working Senator and Out of Town scoreboard as well. But just thoughts from what you heard from the head coach when asked about assessing his team's performance, thought they were too cute, didn't get to the net enough. What do you think of the coach's explanation?
Oh, I agree. At times they passed up shots, Creech, where you got to test this guy. He hasn't won a game all year, and his confidence would not be at the high time at a high level. So you want to test him as much as possible. And also agree with the two tip ins and a rebound, to start the game by Jimmy Vesey. Players are getting to that front of the net on the Senators, and they either have to be knocked down or boxed out. There's one of two options there, but to get a stick on it. And a guy like Kreider is going to put that in 9 times out of 10.
All right, let us know how you feel. You can call us, 613-750-1200. Darren and Jacob are already holding. We'll get to you guys. We've got to do the three stars and the out-of-town scoreboard, but we'll get to you guys. We'll also get to text at 12-1200 for standard text messaging rates apply. Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
TSN 1200, home of the Ottawa 67s. You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Time to check out the play of the game.
Rangers inside the line. Here's Vesey. Hayers it to the corner, drops it back to the net. Zibanejad back to the point. Here's Lindgren. Fires it in. Scores! Three-point night for Lindgren. And the Rangers open up a two-goal lead.
That's the play of the game. That sunk the Sens for sure. You knew when that went in, Shooter, that even though there was about 6 minutes and change left, they weren't coming back from 3-1 down tonight.
It was deflating, for sure. You could feel it in the building.
All right, it's time now for our three stars brought to you by your Ottawa area Canadian Tire Stores. The third star this evening, Shane Pinto.
Yeah, Shane Pinto hadn't scored in a long time, creaching. Bulk of his goals came in October. And it's good to see him get one. Played 18 minutes tonight. I thought he checked well, was strong on the faceoff circle, and scored the only Senators goal. So very worthy of the third star, Shane Pinto.
The second star this evening, you heard his name mentioned in that call, Ryan Lindgren.
Yeah, very efficient. Don't know much about the player, Creech, but three assists. Played over 20 minutes of ice, and very adept at getting pucks through from the point, and was rewarded tonight.
Got through tonight.
With three apples. So there's your second star, Lindgren.
First star tonight picks up his first win of the year against the Sens, Yaro Halak.
Well, unbelievable. Got a little bit of help from his post and crossbar. But nonetheless, you got to get your first sometime. And Halak waited until November 30th to get it. But made some big saves, especially early on in the first period when the Sens had territorial advantage. Your first star, Yaroslav Halak.
Hardest working Sen tonight, Mark Kastelic.
Yeah, Mark Kastelic, very strong on the forecheck. Three hits, three block shots, rattled the backboards here a couple times. Strong.
On that same shift. He set up Parker Kelly, he had two big hits behind the Ranger.
Well, that game was, at that point, the game was still 2-1, and what a play he made on the 2-on-1. And
two plays, to get around the D and then to pass it over to Kelly.
Such a powerful skater, and in 9 minutes of ice, he was definitely a factor for the Ottawa Senators. There's your hardest working player, Mark Kastelic.
So to recap, three stars, number three, Shane Pinto, number two, Ryan Lindgren, number one, Yaro Halak, and the hardest working Senator is Mark Kastelic. All right, let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you by Sina Beer Barbecue, Chicken Ribs Hockey, and we'll begin in the NHL. Three other games tonight. One of them final, one of them in overtime. The Leafs with a 3-1 win over the Sharks. We'll get Shooter to the Shooter magic in the later look at the scoreboard at the end of the postgame. 4-4, Wings and Sabres. There's 20 seconds left in overtime in that one. It was 4-1 Buffalo. And then at 9:30, so I guess momentarily, it'll be Hawks and Oilers from Chicago to the World Cup, where Mexico with a 2-1 win over Saudi Arabia, but the Mexicans failed to advance on goal differential. Argentina 2-0 over Poland. Tunisia 1-0 over France. Australia advances to the knockout round with a 1-0 win over Denmark. And the Raptors getting pumped in New Orleans, 102-78. They trail heading to the fourth quarter. All right, that does it for a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll take a break. We will get to your phone calls. Who do we got? Darren, Jacob, Nathan, and Ryan so far. 613-750-1200. Call in. Let us know how you feel after another loss here. Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
You're listening to TSN 1200. You're listening to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on TSN 1200. Let's go downstairs and check things out live from the locker room.
The Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers on home ice here tonight, returning from their trip through the West, through California and Las Vegas. They fall to 8-13-1 in the year. We will get to the locker room. We'll get to Shane Pinto and other members of the Senators later, but we got to get to your phone calls first. Let's start knocking some of those out. If you want to give us a call, react to how the Sens looked tonight. Anything. What's on your mind? Give us a call, 613-750-1200, and we begin with Darren. Darren, what's on your mind? Right on. Thanks for the call, Darren. I thought they looked good in the first. They didn't score. They were trailing. But they obviously they generated shots, but I thought they had generated a lot of zone time. And that was the discussion this morning with DJ. The Rangers, number one in the league in offensive zone time. Ottawa outpossessed them big time in the first period. It was after that I didn't like. They ended up with a high shot on goal count, but I don't know. And that's just me. I didn't love their second and third periods. I thought they got a number of looks when it was 3-1 with a minute left or so.
Well, that cues up your desperation when you're down by two. And it's unfortunately, and you mentioned it earlier, after Kreider tips that in with 5 minutes left.
It's over.
It's for all intents and purposes, it's over. And, the first period was good. They came to play, and sometimes that happens where you fire 13, 14 shots and you don't get rewarded. Tough power play. Their second one of the first period was a tough one. And just in general, and getting that net front presence, and you see where the Rangers got their goals from tonight. Very, very good tips from 5 feet out.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Jacob is holding. Jacob, how do you react to this 3-1 loss to the Rangers? Hey, Jacob.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Jacob.
Long-time listener, second-time caller.
Second time.
In the building tonight, you know, first period looked good. But after that, I think they lost their legs. I don't know if that was due to the road trip they were on. A lot of young guys in the lineup. Just didn't seem like a lot of energy like out there tonight. The question for you guys, got a really good goaltender and a really good defenseman in Zub. You know, contracts are coming up. Team's not doing well. We're just coming up on the 30% mark in the season. If things aren't going well, are these guys going to want to stay? I think these are pieces you need moving forward, and I'm just not sure what the direction is with the team and where they're headed. So just curious on your guys' thoughts on that, and go Sens, go.
Thanks for the call, Jacob. Shooter, thoughts on Jacob's question?
Well, yeah, thanks for the call, Jacob. And, Zub, I'm on board with multi-year extension.
That's an absolute must get done.
It is. It is. And you see the team's record when he's not in the lineup.
He wasn't good tonight, that said, but you need to get him locked up.
Wasn't one of his better nights. But having said that, usually he's very, very consistent. And I think he's with his age and the amount of games, and he's a durable player that I think you lock him up multi-year in and around that $5 million range.
And Jacob asked if you could take us through this in your experience. I know a different time and day and age and everything right now, but is that something that can play into an athlete's motivation? You're like, okay, well, we're this many games into the season. I'm a pending unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're weighing so many things that you're fit here. You like the city, where you see the team, the term and money that you're offered for sure, but. To Jacob's question, how do you respond to that?
Definitely not when you're playing the game. You're actually between the boards playing the game, but away from the rink, you're wondering about your future. You're in the last year of your contract, and you're weighing options, and especially when you're UFA in this league, because all it takes is one, right? And for a guy like Zub, it's not a secret around the NHL that this guy's a real high-end quality defender. It's an interesting time, and my question would be if it's what is holding it up? Is it term or is it dollars? So it's an interesting question.
Last we kind of heard about it, it sounded like that the Sens wanted to focus on DeBrincat to kind of know where the dollars were at before going to that. But and who knows? We have no idea about these negotiations. But I think it's crucial that you extend Zub, whether it's first or second. You need to get that done. Let's go back to the phone lines. And sorry, just checking the order here from Bobby Hines. Nathan is up next. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Let's go back to the phone lines.
Hello?
You there, Nathan? Yeah, you there, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm here. First time caller.
Nice. First time and a second time tonight.
I have not missed a Senators game in about 4 years. I've watched every single game. Huge fan. And it pains me to see this happen. The fourth line, they fight for their life, And I just think that the rest of the team could learn a lot from that. And I know it's their job to forecheck, but just food for thought. Second comment is that what if prior to the season, the GM never said that the rebuild is over? The narrative would be completely different, and I just want to know what you guys would think. What your expectations would be for that this season if the GM never said that, if the narrative changed.
Thanks for the call.
Well, let's talk about the fourth line first.
They do
their job. For the most part, they do their job. Parker Kelly came out tonight, and he had two big hits in the first period. They're there to create energy, kill some penalties. And Mark Kaslick, I mean, we had him. We usually have him as a candidate for one of the hardest workers, Screech, because he's so good in the draws and physically dominant when he runs people. And so that's your fourth line. That's your hardworking line. No qualms with how they played the game tonight. And you get a maximum 10 minutes out of those guys, 8, 9, 10 minutes, and they're an energy line. So I don't know what you think about that, Creech. But,
well, I'll handle the second question.
Yeah.
Just so we can keep pumping through these callers. On Pierre Dorion last season saying the rebuild's over, I don't think that changed expectations, maybe for some, but I think a couple of things. Number one, you see the acquisitions this offseason. The natural progression of the young stars that you've locked up. I think, obviously, it's been no secret that everybody has wanted them to add to their blue line. They've admitted it. Fans, media, everyone's talked about that since the summer. But I didn't expect them to be in this hole right now. I think after it's going to be 6 years missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. I think everyone can appreciate that. You're going through a rebuild. There's a few years there for sure. You know that you're going to be near the bottom and you're going to collect players like Stützle and Sanderson, but to not even have a sniff once again, to be out of it by before November's over again, that's what people are having a tough time with. I'd say it entirely is because the GM said the rebuild's over two seasons ago. Like I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe fans did take it that way, but I think the expectations, if he didn't say that, the expectations were definitely not to be among the worst teams in the NHL at this point.
Well, and the expectation this year coming in was to compete for a playoff spot. That was the...
Through their own words, they wanted to play meaningful games.
So that means, and I'm talking point-wise, that you're pushing between 80 and 90 points.
Yeah, you got it. When deadline comes, you got to still have a chance at making it.
Even though there's more parity right now in that Eastern Conference, you're still going to need 95, 96 points to get in this year. Last year, you needed, 99?
100
on the nose. So
Washington at 100.
I mean, you got to do the math with that when you're sitting at 8-13-1 and you have an awful lot of hockey coming up.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines one more time in this segment here. Ryan has been waiting. Ryan, what's on your mind?
So, first-time caller, I appreciate you guys taking the call. I'm going to be dead honest. I've been a Sens fan for about 15, 20 years now. This is the most depressed I've ever been with the team. The team, in terms of Pierre Dorion, has literally done everything that we've asked him to. He acquired significant forwards during the offseason, and he locked up all our long-term pieces. He's done what we need to. My immediate question is, when we hired DJ, I know everyone questioned why we hired DJ in the first place. I'm just curious, like, as analysts, what is the actual benefit of DJ? I've yet to find out what he's good at. Is he good in defense? Is he good at forward? Is he good at playmaking? Is he good at analysis? Like, you know, if this was a UFC fighter, I could be like, this UFC fighter's strength is striking or it's wrestling. I've yet to realize what DJ's actual benefit to the team is. It's just, it feels like vanilla the whole time, and it's what's bothering me most about the organization right now.
Hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. Thanks for the first time. A couple of first time calls. Shooter, how would you assess Ryan's question?
Well,
what do you see in DJ?
It's a great question, Ryan. I believe the initial hiring was, you know, we got a young team here, and we're going to let the coach grow with the core group. And that was back in 2017. Fourth year. So. But that was the the hiring when they did it, and he's going to grow with the group. And in terms of the background, he's a former NHL defenseman and was on the Maple Leafs bench for four years under Mike Babcock. So there's your answer right there. The background is defenseman. I played against DJ in the American Hockey League. He was out in St. John's for a long time. Hershey Bears played a little bit with the Colorado Avalanche, and he was a defenseman.
Yeah, it's the 2019-2020 season was his first season behind the bench. I guess what I would add to what you said there is it's clear that he's a player's coach.
Yep.
I think that's crystal clear. Motivational in that regard. I guess that along with what you said would be his strengths, and I think we're waiting, and Sens fans have been patiently waiting to see what the rest of the strengths are. Let's go down live from the locker room for the first time tonight. Here's Shane Pinto, our third star tonight, in conversation with the media.
How tough is it to not be able to follow up you guys? I know the vibes felt pretty good in here coming after that, coming home after that trip, just to not be able to follow through with 2 points as a group.
Yeah, obviously that win in LA was huge to get some momentum going, but you know, I just didn't think we were hard enough in our zone. I think that was the main reason. Just a couple soft goals in front of Taubes, and we kind of left them out the dry there. But you know, you got to turn the page and just get ready for Thursday here. So,
I was just going to say, sorry, Ian, would you do anything different at the other end of the ice?
Defensively?
Offensively.
Offensively? You know, I thought we did a pretty good job of forechecking. You know, we created some chances. We just got to get in front of their net more, I think. I think the goalie's seeing all their shots. And I think it's so important for the D to get the pucks to the net, and then we got to be in front, and that's how you cause havoc and create those chances. So next thing, we just got to do a better job of that.
You put your finger on home ice. You guys have struggled a little bit lately. Is there any one particular factor that you see a common thread?
I think just the start of periods, I think. We just got to do a better job of starting periods. That's a kind of a big momentum starter. If we have a good start to the periods, then it kind of carries into the rest of the period. And I think just each period we just haven't started well, and we just got to do a better job of that. So.
And how did it feel for you? I think it was 8 without a goal, and then you get, and it's a nice play from Batherson to kind of spring you. Just take us through that play and what it meant for you to kind of get some offensive success.
Yeah, it's been I've been kind of not holding it tight, but just kind of I always want to score, and that's just who I am. But just to get one here was huge. But I thought we'd be pretty good all night, meet Bath and Cat. I thought we created some good chances, but obviously it wasn't enough. But just got to turn the page and get ready for Thursday. That's all you can do right now. So
how does it sit with you knowing that you're going to get another crack at them in 2 nights?
Yeah, I mean, in the NHL, it's like you don't have much time to think about the last game. Especially in LA, we didn't have too much time to enjoy that. You got to turn the page and. Obviously it's the same opponent, but this result doesn't matter anymore, and we just got to move on and put our best foot forward and hopefully put a good effort together on Thursday. So.
There's Shane Pinto in conversation with the media after a 3-1 loss. Thoughts on that?
Well, and there's our answer. 8 games. And it felt longer than that because he was off to
such a... It's New Jersey game, right, where he had 2 in front of his buddies.
It's all his buddies were there, yeah. He saw the react after the first goal. He wanted to do it again in Jersey, but that's a big-time snapshot. And that play started... and originated from his own end, and this is why he's a keeper, Creech. He's a 200-foot player, accepts a pass from Nick Holden in his own slot area, advances the puck up to Batherson, who makes a nice tip. It comes back. It's a 2-on-1, shooting in stride off the post and in, and that gave the building and the Senators a lot of energy, and made it 2-1 at the time.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to Murfrog on the other side.
Murfrog.
We'll also still to hear from Talbot and Broussard. We'll get to some of your texts and tweets as well, too. There's, honestly, we get a lot of texts when it's not going well. This might be the most I've seen in a while. So I'm not going to be able to get to all of them. There's hundreds in here, but I'll take them as they come when they get in. So I'll rip through some text on the other side as well. Get to Murfrog. And, yeah, if you want to voice your frustrations, for sure, 613-750-1200. Or if you're feeling otherwise, feel free to do that as well. Sens with a 3-1 loss to the Rangers. This is the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
This is TSN 1200 Ottawa. The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show. The Sens with a 3-1 loss to the Rangers. They're now 8-13-1 on the year, and fans are upset tonight for sure. As I said, there's a ton of texts in here. I don't think I've seen a positive one. Caleb might have like a semi-positive one. I don't know. I'll have to get to that. So let's rip through some of those, and then we'll get to, in a moment, Murfrog and I believe another Jacob. This one texter on sign says, Q for a scoreless drought. Winless streak equals Ottawa. Halak, thank you. This texter, the power play 5 minutes into the second says everything about this team, in my opinion. DeBrinket shot right into Lindgren's ribs. Lindgren's ribs. Dude's laying on the ice completely incapacitated. Everyone's standing still. No one in front of the net. No one thinks to move or take advantage of the situation. This team has no bite, no killer instinct. Thinking every goal needs to be some dipsy doodle fancy goal. Boys fell for the preseason hype and forgot how to dig a dirty one out.
Well, we'll comment on that text for sure. I mean, look at the Rangers' goals. And they're getting to the front of the net. They're looking for tips. And Ottawa was content for the most part tonight to move it around on the outside. They did have some quality chances, but that net front presence was consistent for the Rangers tonight.
Parker in Gloucester says, brutal hockey to watch. I don't care if we're getting shots. I'll still watch all 82. Always will, but yikes. That comes in from Parker. Matt says, why is Shabbat's ice time so goddamn high again? Why is DJ refusing to keep his time lower? What is going on here? It's so blatantly obvious that this coaching staff is incompetent, and without so much talent on the ice, they'd have all been fired years ago. I think Shabbat ended up playing about 10 minutes more than Sanderson. Let me just go back to those stats here. Jake Sanderson played 18:44, and Thomas Shabbat played 27:58. Part of that difference comes on the power play, where Shabbat was up around four minutes. But just thoughts on the, I guess, the usage shooter, the blue line, and I guess specifically, because this is, I've seen a number of texts and tweets already coming in on this topic on Shabbat being around 28 minutes again.
Yeah, well, you like to see him in around that 23, 24, and you know, we've had that discussion before where that he's more effective. Especially just coming back from, you know, it hasn't even been a week yet from the injury. So that's where you like to see that hover. And in terms of Jake Sanderson, just another solid outing. And you can see the talent on display there, where before the Sens got their last power play, there was 4-on-4. And just the ability to control the puck and not have the temptation to give it away, just the poise to handle it. You don't see that out of a guy who's 22 games into his NHL career, and it gives
it's
you
incredible.
A lot of, it is incredible, and it gives you a lot of optimism to see where he's going to be at this time next year.
This comes in unsigned. Who told Batherson your best option on a partial breakaway is to go between the legs, no look behind to a Rangers defenseman? Garrett, allow me to be the first tonight to say the coach must go. I don't think you were the first. You might have got in there. There's a lot of people that are texting similar things, but I'll continue on with your text, Garrett. I heard an interview with Brady where he said it's not the coach's fault as well. We're not ready with the game. I suspect we will hear that again tonight. If the coach's job isn't to get them ready for the game, I don't know what else the coach can do. It just hasn't been good enough, and he's been given a fair shot here in Ottawa. Comes in from Garrett. One more text before we go back to the phone lines again. I think this is unsigned. Bleep this team against New York Rangers, reeling, 3-game losing streak, starting a struggling backup goalie. You come out with another bleep performance on 3 days rest. Sends our slump busters for the rest of the league, and just what the doctor ordered for any struggling player or team. Hashtag fire DJ already. Let's go back to the phone lines. Murfrog has been patiently holding. Murfrog, how are you feeling tonight?
Oh, not bad, fellas. Just a couple things I wanted to touch on there tonight. Defensive structure is frustrating still. It's been like that all year. It was a one-goal game. We let up, what, three or four posts in like a matter of 5 minutes there? Like, it's a one-goal game. They got to tighten that up a little bit. Well, a lot better if they want to see better outcomes out of these games here. And then Stutz, I find sometimes just a little bit too cute with the puck. That goes with a few other guys there tonight, but kind of gives me flashbacks of young Jason Spezza. And then the other thing, the drop pass on the power play, we need to figure out a better way to get zone entry there. It's too cute, and I'm sick of watching it. Everyone knows it's coming, and we need a little bit better setup on the zone entry. That's all for me, boys.
Thanks for calling in and being patient on the phone line.
Yeah, Murph Raga, we'll touch on your last point first. I agree with the urgency on the power play is not there, and it starts with a breakout creature. It doesn't always have to be that drop pass, and you can come in a wave of five.
And they have enough talent, too, on that unit where they can gain the line.
You cannot, and that's something I won't be talked into. You cannot tell me there's not enough talent there that it can be
like
a better
before,
structure.
Like 3 or 4 years ago when everyone was saying, what's with the bump back? It's, you know what?
Yeah.
They didn't really have enough guys to dress all those units, and like two units with capable guys that were able to do that. So that's kind of what they fell back. I'm not like excusing it.
No.
It is something
the bump back, the execution of it is for you to come with speed 100 miles an hour. And I'm not comparing this to Colorado.
I was just going to say the one team I saw do it very well, have great success with it. And I don't know how much they do it anymore, but Colorado with McKinnon.
Yeah, McCarr and McKinnon, but it's mostly McKinnon coming from his own goal line 100 miles an hour. And that puts a fear into the penalty killers who are doing a 1-3. And you're almost stationary across the line because no one wants to get lit up by somebody skating 200 feet through them, which this guy has the ability to do. But the execution has to be there. You have to make two plays to get in the zone. And like we talked about during the broadcast, Creech, when you have a power play there, that was the Brady Tkachuk slew foot. You got slew foot in the corner there, and you want to make them pay, whether it's through, I don't know, hitting a post, getting great chances. But to give up two two-on-ones, and Jacob Trouba hit the post down low. I mean, that takes the wind out of your sails. So you want to maximize your power play opportunities.
I won't spend any more time on Colorado than this tonight. But the other thing that made it successful is McCarr opened up his hips, and it's like, okay, is he going back to McKinnon or is he going by me? Those guys are lethal. Sorry, I love watching them play.
You're talking about the Philadelphia. Remember the Philadelphia goal with McCarr, where he does the fake. Last year, he skates through the whole team. He opens up the hips, and...
Oh, keep going this way.
I'm just going to keep going. Breakaway.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got another Jacob holding. Jacob, how are you feeling tonight?
Hello?
Hey there, Jacob.
Yeah.
Hey, Jacob.
Just a couple things. Number one, DJ, I don't know how well he's going to last with this team, but it's really frustrating to see... like, for example, Shabbat playing, like, 28 minutes. I feel like they should put some of the other pressure on the other guys that they have. You know, not put all the pressure on Shabbat. I feel like, you know, to solve that problem, you need to find a solid Dina to help out that decor. That's my first thing. And second thing, I just want to, like the whole forwards are playing amazing, especially the 4-5. They're hustling, they're, you know, forechecking, they're making some big hits. But, yeah, I just see, I think, like, the coach and at the blue line are essential.
Right on. Thanks for the call, Jacob.
Yeah, and then adding help to the blue line is a priority, Creech. And we were talking pregame. Do you just assume that the team is out of the playoff mix and you don't do anything and you just let the thing go as is? And I said it contrary. I said, no, you still make a move because you still have, look how many games you have left.
As long as it's a move where, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree with this, but specifically we're talking about the blue liner, is if it's someone that comes in and he's, it's a long-term thing. Like, this is the top 4D we've been trying to acquire, and he's going to be here for X amount of years. If it's something else, you know what, let's just get this pending UFA to hope that we can turn the season around and we probably don't have a good opportunity to sign him, something like that. I don't want to see that. I don't care to see that.
There's two things I'm looking at here, down, and one's immediate. One's tomorrow by 5 p.m. is if you're going to sign Formanton, he has to be signed. If he's going to play in the NHL next year, this year, Creech. He's got to sign by tomorrow. And is he in part of a deal that brings something back? That's what I'm looking for. And secondly, we talked about this earlier, Artem Zub. That has to be a huge priority. It's night and day when he's in the lineup with
his team.
Look
how thin the right side is right now. You remove Zub from that equation. Uh-oh.
Goes down in a hurry.
Starting over again there. Here's one positive text, although I don't think it's intended to be taken that way. This comes in from Backhand Sauce Mark. Hey, boys, go Sens, go. Ring around the boards to no one for life. Puck high and off the glass and out. No tape to tape passes for life. Go Sens, go. Travis Hamonic needs more minutes. Comes in from Backhand Sauce Mark.
Good sarcasm and great handle.
Oh, you're the king of the backhand sauce, eh? Or you were on the receiving end of the backhand sauce. One time in the back of the net, the American Hockey League Hall of Famer. All right, let's go downstairs live from the locker room one more time. Well, we'll do it two more times, but once again here. And hear from Cam Talbot in conversation with the media.
That's a tough one when there's a series of redirects that basically just end up in the back of the net.
Yeah, that's their MO. I mean, they've got some good D-men that can get the puck to the net. They got some really good net front guys. So we knew we were going to have to be good in front of our net tonight, and they still were able to find a way to get a couple on us there.
You guys seem pretty excited coming back from that trip, the way it ended. Like, how would you characterize the mood now after obviously a disappointing finish to this one?
I mean, the good news is we get to go right back at these guys in 2 days at MSG, and it's going to be another fun one. So we got to put this one behind us and do what we did on the last road trip.
Is it tough to see the struggles this team is having on home ice right now?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you always want to put your best foot forward when you're at home, and unfortunately we haven't really been able to do that as of late, but you know, we still love coming back here and playing in front of our fans, and you know, on Saturday we're going to need them to get behind us and give us a little bit of a boost.
How did you feel the energy level was coming back from a big trip like that?
It was good. I mean, it was upbeat in here. We knew that, you know, we strung a couple together. We wanted to keep it going, but, you know, give the Rangers credit. They're a good hockey team, too. And like I said, they're just able to find a way with some of those point shots to squeeze them through on redirects. So other than that, I thought it was a pretty even game. But, you know, it's a veteran lineup that went pretty deep last year, and we hung with them all day. So that's positive that can be taken out of it. And like I said, we get another chance to go at it on Friday.
There's Cam Talbot in conversation with the media. After a 3-1 loss to the Rangers. And I think, like, you can appreciate what he's saying, and, of course, that would be the message internally hey, we played well against what should be a good team. They're not a great team right now, just based on how they've been playing. But we hung with them. We had an opportunity. But from a fan base's perspective, they don't care about moral victories anymore. It's
hard
it's
to
time
explain.
For results.
Yes, exactly.
But from their point of view, that's, like, what would the feeling be for... Like, take us through what it's like to go through this situation right now. We're on a team that, if you look at it realistically, they're probably out of the playoffs before the end of November, but you are playing well at times, and, like, what's it like to keep that positive message and feeling when really it's probably pretty low?
Well, it wasn't low before this game, Creech. I can guarantee you when you come back from the trip where you're 0-2 to start, and you win back-to-back games, and you're feeling okay, and that's the first time they've done that since winning 4 games at home in October, and you come back and you're feeling good. You've had the extra day, so that doesn't really wash with, like, the first game back from a long trip. So you're feeling good, and the first period was a reasonably good period, even though you didn't score. So momentum is on your side. And this is going to sting tonight. This is going to sting tonight, and you're going to, and the guys are going to go home, and you're going to wonder how did they get 3, and we only get 1 on Halak, and it's going to come back to things that we've talked about, like filtering pucks through the net from the point. I don't know about you, but I didn't know too much about Lindgren before this game. But he's got 3 apples because he filters pucks to the net, and guys get there and tip them in, and that is the NHL. And so, you know, you can almost take a page from the Rangers textbook there and try to do that a little more.
Backhand Sauce is in with a non-sarcastic text.
Okay.
I believe. I haven't read through all of it yet, but let's see here. Hi, gentlemen. I am upset. You can literally see them coaching the creativity out of Sanderson. Used to break out skating effortlessly. Now Sanderson relegated to the same high off the glass, rim the puck style breakouts that these Hamm and Eggers zero talent defensemen make. I guess that's what you get when they are coached by the Hamm and Egger. Embarrassing cheers, backhand sauce, Mark. I'll continue ripping through some text. Sure. I'll try to get to as many of these as possible because people are frustrated. And there's a boatload here. I told you Caleb would have something kind of positive. Pinto's probably my favorite player on the team. Smart, confident, big, can snipe, give DeBrincat spot on the power play. Swap Shabby for Sandy while you're at it. Comes in from Caleb.
Be nice if Pinto can get on a roll again. It seems like he scores in bunches and
he's got that bullet of a shot and gets a chance to let it loose.
He's got that bullet of a shot, does everything in stride, and it's tough to believe, again, that he's under 40 games NHL experience.
What else we got here? Brent says, undersized defenseman, or the undersized defense needs to be addressed in order to win more games. We've touched on the blue line a little bit. How much do you believe that they need to address that specific need? Obviously, you don't want just like a Josh Brown here. Like you need a big mobile defenseman, somebody who can move the puck and move his feet.
Yeah, well, it has to be done. Whether it's done in the next few days, or the next week, or the next month, it's certainly an advantage. Look at their goals on the tip-ins, Creech. Your Kreider's in front of the net. VC's there. VC's got his third goal of the year.
Goodrow. Kind of out-muscling, getting position on Eric Brännström. I think Eric Brännström he made a great play on that shift, covering for Shabbat, breaking up the two-on-one. They can't clear, and then, he kind of gets out-muscled getting to that puck.
And that game-winning goal basically characterizes what's going on with the Sens here, because they did do some good things tonight, and I didn't find them brutal. But that shift, Shabbat coughs it up. Brännström comes back, breaks up a two-on-one. The puck comes around the boards, Creech, and here's the details of the game. They had two times to get it out, and sometimes you aren't going to make a play. Sometimes you just redirect it out and get off the ice because you're gassed. But the puck stays in, and then it gives the Rangers two or three or more opportunities. And, you're tired, and Brännström's not the biggest guy. He gets worn down, and Goudreau's in the right spot, and it's just a nice tip. But it's almost symbolic of what's going on with the Ottawa Senators here.
Blackburn Ben has a question for you. Cheers, gents. Question for you. Why can't this team score a goal ever when they pull a goalie? It seems, statistically speaking, they should have at least one goal by now, but they have none all season. It's so demoralizing as a fan watching this, knowing they won't score. Cheers from Blackburn Ben. What are you seeing when the net is empty from an Ottawa down one, or in this case, two?
Sometimes, we saw it tonight. The puck moves around the outside. And there's lanes to the net where it just has to be drilled at the net instead of looking for that perfect play. Especially when you're down by two, Creech, and there's a minute and a half left. You don't want to be killing your own clock by moving the puck around the outside looking for that perfect play, because you need two goals. That's what I see there a little bit. Just a little more action in the blue paint is needed.
Karp and Vanier's text in. There was zero structure in that third period. It was clear that they struggled coming out of the second intermission. There should have been a timeout to settle everyone down. 10 minutes left when it was 2-1. Comes in from Karp and Vanier. To the point about coming out, I agree. Watching even the second period a little bit.
Yeah.
The first couple minutes of the second and third period, it's like they look flat. How is that the case after a pretty strong first period? You're down. And you know the task here at hand to climb back to respectability.
Tough to explain because they were pressed at the end of the second period, and that happens. There's two teams on the ice. The Rangers are desperate.
That's why I hate the 60-minute cliche, because there's pushback.
There's always
two teams.
Pushback. There's momentum swings. But I definitely agree with who's the texter?
I think it was Karp and Vanier. Karp. Sorry, it's kind of buried now. But I think it was Karp.
But I agree with that. That first shift – or second shift of the third period, you have to come out and not necessarily score, but you've got to dictate the pace of play, and that didn't occur, especially when you're down 2-1 in your own home building.
Yeah. Some tweets that came at us as well. Don't want to neglect the tweets. Charles says, I'd like to see this team with another coach, but don't think I'd let Pierre Dorion hire that coach. And I know that there's been tons of frustration over the course of the season, really, ever since they won the four games. And lots of people asking for answers from the GM and the coach specifically. And I know that I've asked Darren Dreger a couple times on pregame shows, is the pending sale of the team, does that have any impact on the ability for Pierre Dorion to make a trade or make a coaching decision? And
is there a direct answer on
he
that?
He didn't believe that there would.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe so. I guess we continue to wait to see if there is some kind of significant change or if they turn it around. And I know a lot of people don't believe that they'll see that. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Some more texts here. Pure Atlantic Red, just terrible game to give away. I don't want a single any one player out, but there are several players that paid lots of money to find a way to score that one goal game. Very disappointing from Pure Lanark Red. This unsigned texter, this team simply sucks. And until they make some serious changes, it ain't going to get any better. Time to trade the cat before we completely ruin what we had going and might as well start another rebuild because we just don't have the leadership. This team needs to be great once again. Well, I think I'm not questioning the leadership on this team.
No.
That's not anywhere I'd go. I respect your opinion as a fan to weigh in and question that.
Sure, passionate. You know, you've won the last two games out west. You come back, and you know, you see their backup goalie go in. Your eyes should be as big as saucers.
And I think specifically speaking to Brady, the captain, I don't know if that texter was singling out Brady or just the leadership group or leadership top to bottom in the organization. But I think that he's been their best player throughout the season, and on the nights where either they win or they're close, he's one of the best players on the ice. I think tonight that line struggled big time, and I thought especially in the third period the Zibanejad line just speedbagged whoever they were against, and they were against the Stützle line a number of times, and there was a shift or two that they got against the fourth line as well. Not a great game, I don't think, for that first line, but I'm not questioning the leadership here.
No, and I don't think you can ask too much more than Brady Tkachuk. Well over a point a game, physical, and showing leadership. And I agree with the Creech on the Zibanejad take. He got stronger as a game.
I almost didn't notice him for the first half of the game.
The first period and a half, you're kind of like you're waiting for him to do something. And then all of a sudden, you see it when it goes, and we see it right here from our vantage point, where it goes D to D, and that puck is given, it's a 15-foot pass to him in the low middle, and all of a sudden he's gone from his high slot, and he is at full speed in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds by center ice, where he's created time and space to give the puck to his wingers. And it was a fairly tight game tonight. There wasn't a whole lot of space out there, but he's not afraid to just chip the puck in and go get it himself. And so he's really matured as a hockey player, and definitely physically as a hockey player since he's been in New York.
Off in public has texted in, Creech, my man was just at the game, a section over from you guys up in the 200. Sends lack any sort of organization or crease of effort. Coaching is now the main issue. Comes in from off in public. Chris in Vancouver, lifeless, passionless, showing tonight. So much for what they learned in L.A. Zero attempt to get into the game with a few shifts, a few big hits, or a fight. Good job, guys. Have a struggling team, I guess that meant to say, and a winless goalie. An easy victory. Shabbat too slow in the power play. Comes in from Chris in Vancouver. I think this text is unsigned. Fire the bleep and coach right now. Like, what the heck are we waiting for? Because we just beat the worst team in the league and squeaked out an overtime win. Is that the standard now? Win two games, four of the worst starts in franchise history. Horrible in the D zone. Terrible line decisions. No track record of before coming to Ottawa. Fire him now, in all caps. That comes in unsigned. Let's go back live from the locker room one final time tonight. And again, if you want to make your feelings known, call us 613-750-1200. I just see now James is holding. We'll get to you in a moment, James. But let's wrap up live from the locker room with Derek Brassard in conversation with the media.
Just to lead off, tough to not be able to follow up. You guys have played so well at the end of that road trip, just to not be able to follow up with 2 points tonight.
The first period was really good. I think the main thing when you're coming back from a long road trip and a long travel is the energy that you're going to have and the way you're going to start the game. We did that. That team lost 3 games in a row, so they're desperate as well. They had a good second period, but we had some moments. But we couldn't get a push in the third period here.
Initially, did you think that one was in?
I didn't see it. I didn't see a replay at all either. The guys were telling me about it here in the room, but I didn't see any replays or anything.
What does it do to a club? You were on a streak, you know, you get those 2 wins, and now you fall, take a step back. How do you reset from that?
Yeah, we just got to focus on the next one, and we're going to see those guys again. We were playing really good from the Vegas on and from the Vegas game, and we just got to turn the page and improve in some areas.
What would you change, if anything, going into Friday's game?
Well, just the execution of everywhere on the ice. We looked at some point in the game, we looked a little sloppy with the puck, the way we manage it. It's almost like we did some mistakes because we were a little tired out there. But, our mindset that to be just a battle through 60 minutes, and that's not our team. When we're sharp, we're playing fast, we're forechecking pretty hard, and I feel like we did it some part of the game tonight.
Derek, how would you evaluate your power play tonight?
I think it's been doing really good. Power play is going to have some ups and downs like anything else during a season. I think we're right up there, and I'm not sure where we're at in the league, but the execution wasn't there tonight, and we could have a big goal, but we just got to focus on the next one. We got to turn the page and make sure we have a good game at MSG.
There's Derek Brassard in conversation with the media. He was asked about that one that was looked like it was potentially very close to over the line, if not over, but he didn't see it, hasn't seen it yet. Thoughts on his comments in game?
Well, yeah, and the referee is right in the proper position to make that call. He's right behind the net, and then it was at the other end. We couldn't really see that. That would have been nice if it had gone in. Agree with him with the power play was sloppy tonight. And the puck management was a little bit off. But in general, Creech, power play tonight, we talked about one of the positives for the Senators, was clicking just a shade under 25%. And if you can keep that number up throughout the course of the season, you're in pretty good shape. Didn't help them tonight, but on a whole, throughout the season, 25% is not a bad number.
All right, try to get through as many of these texts as I can here. Dan says, hey, gentlemen, not sure the Sens have one of the worst shooting percentage in the league or the most missed shot attempts or the missed chances. Can't get over how often they miss the net on grade A chances to shoot or is turned into a pass. It only gets intercepted, doesn't connect. So many missed opportunities every single game. It's frustrating to watch, comes in from Dan. Darby says, scrambly hockey at best, no direction, no real system. If a player isn't ready, he goes back to Belleville. How about a coach that isn't ready? Till things change, I'm a Devils fan. At least they play organized hockey. Comes in from Darby, who has given up his fandom for the moment.
Oh.
Sean from Prescott, sure. Is it true that they look strong in the first? Sure, but they just had shots on net, not the scoring chances. There's no energy now. Ruined a doozy. Sorry, there's a couple of typos. I can't even make out what this says. Moving on to the next one. Neil in Westboro. Hi, boys. Always enjoy his post-game opinions. I know that might be a popular take with the majority of local media. The continued poor play of Thomas Chabot has been a huge concern to management. I won't get into the obvious flaws in his game, but it's becoming more and more obvious that he's barely hanging on as a top three D-man on this team and would barely be a top four on most elite teams in the league. Cheers from Neil in Westboro.
Yeah, tough night for Thomas Chabot here. Minus two, 28 minutes of ice time. Thought previously when he returned from his concussion on Friday, had a good game in Anaheim and in LA. So, you want to see those minutes like we talked about reduced a little bit.
Dr. Bob, who's on his tour, he just went on the tour with the Senators.
Yes,
thought he was going to have nothing but losses, but he ended up getting a couple wins at the end. Dr. Bob says, Halak did well tonight, but Sen's tired tonight. We'll do better in New York. I know I'm tired from the 8,400-kilometer drive road trip. I wasn't there tonight, but we'll be at Madison Square Garden Friday, expecting the Sens to do better, from Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob went on, was that all four games?
Driving. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for
incredible
him. I saw him in Vegas on the big screen on TV. There.
60 games, a lot of losses.
It's called.
Yes, yeah, he was on TV here.
Yeah.
On the big screen. We took a picture of him.
I think you took a picture of
it,
yeah.
It got sent out to multiple group chats.
Yeah. That's commitment,
that
driving.
To Dr. Bob on driving. The post-game show. I love it. This comes in unsigned. Two questions. Number one, do you think it's time to get Pinto back with Mott and Joseph, as he looked way more comfortable in that spot? Two, why do you think the coach likes Talbot over Forsberg?
Well, he's won the last two games. That's an easy one. Won the Anaheim game and won the game in L.A.
And games for Forsberg wasn't even available.
If Forsberg wasn't available.
I don't even think he gets this opportunity, potentially, because he was brutal in San Jose, and he admitted that too.
Yeah.
He wasn't good. Three goals and seven shots,
yeah.
and ones that you'd want back. Forsberg suffers a minor lower body injury. Like, I would assume, and this is just me speculating or guessing, that Forsberg gets a call against Vegas based on how Talbot looked in San Jose and how Forsberg looked in his relief. But he's injured, doesn't get that opportunity. Talbot looked good in Vegas. Talbot looked good in Anaheim. Talbot looked good in L.A., so of course he's going to get the start.
It's my opinion that they want Talbot to grab the ball and run with it.
I think they'll be happy with anyone grabbing the ball and running with it.
Oh, for sure. Anybody that can help them string together some wins. So they won their two games with a guy who let in three goals. So is it a surprise he started tonight? Not at all.
No. What was the other one? Do you think that it's time to put Pinto back with Mott and Joseph?
I don't know. I think there's more upside offensively with Pinto playing with other guys. I do see value in that third line. But I think, and it's just a hunch, Creech, I think with that goal tonight, that's going to jumpstart him again. And I think you're going to see some offensive production from him.
Yeah, I like him in the two spot right now. I think that it's a better fit with Brassard, with Mott and Joseph, than it is Brassard with DeBrincat and Batherson or whoever else you put there. I prefer Pinto there right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think another factor in that question, it's a great question, because I don't think there's a wrong answer, but the play of Joseph and Mott have dipped compared to where they were in the first couple weeks of the season. So do you want Pinto with that, or do you want to advance him up a line? It's a good question.
A good question, and it's one that we've been discussing on pre- and post-game shows since Norris got injured. Because you put Pinto up there, I think this was his 39th game in the league.
Yeah.
But B, then it kind of depletes your depth that you have. If he's not there, then I think you're lacking a true number two center.
It's tough to
figure out right now, but I'd go with Pinto.
And there's development, and then there's
great
winning.
Point.
But to me, with Pinto, as long as he's playing 18-20 minutes per night and getting that ice time, PP, regular shift, it's imperative that he plays that amount of minutes for this team going forward.
I think this text is unsigned. I think it's terrible. We go over 9 minutes without a shot on net at home when trailing by a goal. I thought the fourth line did play well, and I like the play of Brännström. Tired of making every team's backup look like the best goalie in the world. Stittsville Rob texting in from Sault Ste. Marie. Hope to get home as there's a blizzard going on. Drive safe or fly safe, whatever. There's Stittsville Rob. And, thanks for the text.
Yeah.
This texter... So disappointing at this point. The BS that I get from my Habs and Leafs fans buddies is bleeping ridiculous. Someone needs to fix this goddamn team already. On to the next one. Do you know what the smell of hot garbage is? Turning this Sen season into a scent. Comes in unsigned. Love the creativity. There's a lot of fire DJ text. So when you get something a little bit different, it's fun here. Seaver2K is text in. Creature, can you please just put me out of my misery and put Uganda-Zimbabwe World Cup game on to ruin my night completely? Seaver's not a soccer guy. Seaver will complain when I give scoreboard updates on the World Cup.
Yeah.
So Seaver's had it with this Senators team, I believe. Thanks for the text. This is unsigned. I have been a fan of the Senators since the inaugural season. My frustration level has never been this high. The closest thing would have been the losses to the Leafs in the early 2000s. I think they owe me a phone, as it didn't make it after I tossed it across the room. Frustrating night. Sorry, we got to go back to the phone lines. James is holding. Sorry, James. I'm trying to get to as many things as I can. I forgot that you were holding. Thanks for your patience. James, how are you feeling tonight?
Oh, not too bad. Same old, same old. Actually, I'm kind of humorous to hear it. Listen, what I don't understand the life of me for this team is why they can't follow up a good period with another good period. I mean, they proved that they can do it, but they can't do it consistently. It goes from good to bad to ugly. When's the last time they put in three good periods and looked good over, like, even two games, maybe three games, and be consistent? The other thing is I wanted to ask is, how did Pinto look, and is he getting any power play time? And as far as the coaching consideration is, let's hope he's fired sooner than later. But I haven't given up hope, fellas, because I'm thinking of putting my resume in there, so...
Thanks for the call, James. I thought he was talking about hope on the season, but he means hope behind
get
the bench
CV
calling plays. Pinto, we named our... Sorry, I was just going to get to the numbers before letting you assess Pinto's game, but we named him as the third star, which we'll get to in a minute, and he had the question about the power play. Minute 53, he's a part of that second unit.
For
they
sure
obviously
is.
Don't see enough of... or they don't see as much as the first unit. So thoughts on his game.
Well, this game's very good, and specifically in the power play, where he's had success this year scoring goals, he's a bumper guy. And he's got a real deceptive shot, and it's got a lot of velocity on it. So, he has to be on one of those two units. And, we picked him as one of our stars tonight and thought he played well, and I think that that goal is going to propel him to, it's as simple as this, Creech. When you go 7, 8, 9, I went 17 games in L.A. without scoring a goal, it weighs on you, and especially if you're playing minutes, and it's like a monkey off your back, so I expect him to be productive going forward.
Sorry, just trying to rip through as many of these as I can here. Adam says, yeah, I'm done with this team. Quarter of the season in, start to play well like the first four-game stretch, then lose, lose, lose. They barely seem to care or try to fix it. Culture of losing. Soon the big names we got in the summer will all want out and back to better teams comes in from Adam. Just thoughts on the topic of losing culture and like a... Does that exist? How much does it impact? Because I think that's what we're starting to see a lot lately is people questioning losing culture. Like these guys have only known losing. They
well, guys that have been on this
being even in a run for something.
Yeah, guys that have been on this team for 3-4 years, they've been out of it 2/3 of the way through the season or sooner, and then you start looking for the meaningful games or the World Championships, Creech, where they get invited to. So, it's a concern, but you're also, you're only 22 games into the season.
These two texts come in, I think, unsigned. Expecting DeBrincat and Stützle to cause turnovers is ridiculous. They should be receiving dishes on the one-timers from puck possession over the offensive blue line. DeBrincat isn't going to score from behind the goal line grinding out to gain possession. You can't have your top three lines, which on paper are likely one of the highest-skilled top three lines on one team in the league, expected to have success at being hard to play against. That's a clear illustration of either not understanding your player's skills or not knowing how to leverage them. Both point to coaching. Comes in unsigned. Yeah, I think fans have obviously been very frustrated when they hear, we need to play harder. We need to play harder. Everybody works hard in this league.
Yeah.
You need to play smarter. And obviously, a bulk of the frustration from the fan base has come on coaching and what they've seen over the years.
Oh, for sure. And
just thoughts on that point, though, about the like chipping and dumping and chase and maybe having a different offensive scheme.
Well, with the DeBrincat situation about being behind the net, he's a double threat player. He's a great passer. And what he's doing now, he's a little snake bitten, and he's going to find pucks behind the net, and he's trying to set up guys. You want to be the trigger man. and scored a real goal scorer's goal in LA the other night on Quick, putting it basically between the post and his jersey, which is only about 3 or 4 centimeters. And I think, Creech, it's going to be an interesting one with DeBrincat, because I think he will flirt with 25, 30 goals this year. I don't think he'll get to 40, and like he has in the past year. But what do you do with the qualifying offer, and you know, what's your limit with this player, with the other commitments you've made contract-wise to your core?
This unsigned texter was at the game. Zero energy from the team and the fans. Loudest chant was "Fire DJ." I would say, like, I don't disagree with that. I was actually texting with some buddies that were here and was talking with Claire Hanna in the anthems. And we both commented, like, this might be a good crowd tonight. Hopefully the team gives them something to cheer about, because I don't know where you were for the anthem, but it was...
Standing.
No, where you were, though. If you were, like, if you were in the bowl, because it was just fans, like, starting the Go Sens Go chant during the anthem. People... It seemed like, and you don't, like, it seems like a minor thing if you're just listening to me say that, but I've been every game for 13 years.
Yep.
I have a pretty good feel of when a crowd is going to be good. And I don't mean big, like a sellout, but if it's good, if it's buzzing.
Loud.
And loud. And I got that vibe during the anthem and right around then. But then you fall back, despite playing pretty well, you fall behind 1-0 and then leave the effort in the second and third period, not up to, like, I'm not giving the fans an out. Maybe some fans or some people would like to say, well, this is where you got to liven up and get loud and get behind the team. What? But sometimes you also need the team to kind of give you something to get going with.
Well, warm up. We were right on top of it here watching the Sens come out with their new jerseys, their sharp jerseys, the anthems. There was a good atmosphere in here. And no, I thought the atmosphere was fine, and it's just back to one of the texters. It's tough when you're only down a goal and you are pinned at the end of the second period, and you have to come out, Creech, on home ice, and have a good couple shifts to start the third, and that didn't occur.
Just trying to skim through as much as these can. There's tons that come in, and every time we get new texts. They push everything down and you kind of have to refresh them. I'm trying to get to as many as possible without reading the same kind of message over and over or the same text. So just trying to see if there's anything else here. This comes in. Is this? No, this can't be. This can't be. Hey, guys. Let's all relax and wait for the draft lottery. Bedard is in reach. Go Sens Go from Irish Tommy. I don't believe that's Irish Tommy. I think Irish Tommy's calling.
He would call before he texts, for
sure. I think that's an imposter.
A phone call is more his style.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But thoughts on, and that's where it's at right now. And that's, I think a lot of people that's sad that it's at that part where there's fans discussing maybe it's better to go for Bedard right now. It's not December.
No, I know it's. I still think it's early for that, but it's a distinct possibility once 2023 rolls around.
This texter says, "Creech, you're the therapeutic outlet. I can't even read the text anymore. There's too many of them coming in. Yeah. Creech, you're the therapeutic outlet we need. You bring it every night, unlike the Senators. Fire DJ." Thanks, but it's Brad Smith is the star, and
no.
Jamie Baker, and Chris Stevenson, and Sean Simpson.
We're a team.
It's you guys are the stars for sure. Okay, there's so many texts coming in. I'll wrap it up with this one text before we take a break here. Dave has texted in. At what point do the players turn on the coach? I know Brady said it's not the coaching, and they like DJ, but if the skilled guys can't see that they look like a low-tier men's league team with their positioning and hockey sense sometimes, if that's what they're being coached, I don't need to watch another game this season because I will not partake in the insanity. Ooh. Comes in from Dave. Well, obviously
that's
the captain's going to stand up. Like, we know what kind of character Brady Tkachuk is.
Yeah.
He's not going to throw anybody under the bus. Even when he has success, he's often pointing to his teammates of the reason why they had success. He's not going to... When he's asked about the Fire DJ chants, he's not going to... He's not going to throw his coach under the bus at all. And I do believe he likes him. But to the Dave's text. Have you been in rooms before where the coach loses the room? And what's that? What that experience?
I've been
is
on
like.
Teams where, yeah, the guys are upset with the coach and they like to see him go, but I don't get that vibe
sense
here.
Yeah.
No, I don't get that sense here because I think they enjoy playing for him, but the problem is it's a result. It's you are what your record is, and your record's not good. And
well, and DJ knows that, and the rest of his staff knows it, and Pierre Dorion knows it.
Yeah,
they know that. They need the results here, but you're right. It's you could like the guy could be the greatest guy in the world, but you're in the business of winning hockey games, and this team is expected to win hockey games this year.
My question would be, Creech, why like when it's 2-1 and Halak's having a good game, for sure he's having a game. He hasn't won all year, and you've got the one goal on him, and there seems to be a lull when you're down by one, and you're playing at home. And that would be my question. Why is that occurring?
All right. That does it. Let's take a break. Big Red, nobody else holding? That's it?
Big Red.
All right. Bobby Hines ready to pack it in. Let's take a break. We'll look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Some history tonight across the league. See how your boy T.J. Thompson fared. And some final thoughts from Brad Shooter. Shooter Tudor Smith.
Tudor. You haven't said that yet tonight. I like it.
First one.
I like it.
The Sens fall 3-1 to the Rangers. 8-13-1 on the year. It's the Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show on the TSN 1200 Ottawa Senators Radio Network.
The Jim K. Ford Lincoln Sens postgame show continues on TSN 1200.
All right, let's check out the TSN 1200 out-of-town scoreboard brought to you by St. Hubert Barbecue Chicken Ribs and Hockey. Only three other games in the NHL tonight, Shooter. The Sabres give up a 4-1 lead to the Wings, but they end up grabbing the 2 points, 5-4, via the skills competition.
Yeah, Sabres just holding on to the rush from the Detroit Red Wings, who scored three goals in the third period to force a shootout. And of note in this game, Jack Quinn, who's playing Ottawa, who's from Ottawa, Creech, and is playing his 20th NHL game. Only and he's got 13 points already, so that should be noted. As well as Tage Thompson picking up a primary assist.
I was going to say, how are you waiting this long to get to your guy? The Leafs with a 3-1 win over the Sharks.
Austin Matthews with number 12 on the season. And just as important, Mitch Marner with an empty net goal is eighth of the season. So that, I believe, ties him with Eddie Olczyk, former teammate of mine. And Daryl Sittler for most consecutive points.
18 games.
So the next game's a big one for the Leafs.
Yeah, have you seen the video? The guys kind of shower Marner after he comes back from, I'm guessing, what was a three-star situation. They shower him with water bottles or, I guess, BioSteel bottles.
BioSteel bottles, for sure.
Yeah, they're having fun.
He's in the record books.
The other game. In the NHL, still ongoing. 1-0 Oilers leading the Blackhawks. 11:15 left in the second period.
Yeah, Leon Draisaitl, number 14 on the season for the Oilers.
To the World Cup, Seaver, I'll rip through this quickly. Everyone knows what happened already, so I won't let you suffer any more soccer talk. 1-0 Australia over Denmark. Tunisia 1-0 over France. 2-0 Argentina over Poland. And Mexico 2-1 over Saudi Arabia. And the Raptors pumped tonight, 126-108. They lose to the Pelicans. That does it for the out-of-town scoreboard. The Sens, meanwhile, fall 3-1 to the New York Rangers. They're 8-13-1 on the year. I think, once again, the fan base frustrated with the coaching staff. He took a brunt of it tonight. Just upset with what they're seeing from the club. Yep. The lack of structure, the game planning. Style of play, lots of different topics that kind of came in. We heard a fire DJ chant in the crowd tonight. I don't know if that's something he heard. I was talking to Matt Hamer, who was up in the broadcast booth. He didn't hear it from there. We're down in the opposite corner where the chant was, and I heard it crystal clear here. I think Obviously, the fan base is becoming impatient with what they're seeing, considering the expectations, considering the talent that is on this team. I do still think, I'm not giving them excuses, but what was I going to say? Lost my train of thought there. They obviously, the Norris, I saw some texts come in about the depth of the third and fourth line and the Norris injury. Obviously,
it hurts.
It hurts.
Absolutely.
But this team is still, the thing that I've gone to numerous times over this, all this losing and all these post-game shows is I've seen similar situations where similar blue lines in terms of skill, where they're coached up and have success. They're able to find ways to battle through these injuries. Every team in the league
has injuries.
Look at what Boston has went through. Look what the Maple Leafs are. Maple Leafs just win every night. That's all they've done. And whose blue line on paper do you think looks better right now? Ottawa's or Toronto's?
Well, I mean, Toronto's lost their basically three defensemen, right?
On paper.
Muzzin,
the answer
Riley.
Be Ottawa.
Oh, for should be. Should be, yeah. When they have Zub and Shabbat in the lineup, yeah. Yeah, the impatience is growing, Creech. There's make no mistake of that.
Meanwhile, up front, they're having a hard time other than L.A. and Anaheim in generating offense. What do you see in there?
Up front?
Yeah.
Seeing you have to juggle some of the lines around just to get certain guys going. And it shouldn't be like that, especially coming back when you're on home ice. You've won a couple of games. And, I just think that there's a bit of a disconnect in breaking out the pucks between the defense and the forwards.
All right, Shooter. It's been a pleasure. The Shooter Tutor.
Update those soccer scores.
Seaver's not happy with this hockey team or all the soccer that's being played right now. I mean, we'll leave it at that. Scoreboard's done, Shooter.
Scoreboard's done.
You can go home and watch your Tage Thompson highlights, break down his game. Thank you for pre-intermissions and post. Lever Sage, you hosted the pregame show.
Absolutely.
Darren Dreger joined him off the top. Dina Gordo had tonight's call. Matt Hamer, who produced in-house. Cam Clement, who produced back at 87 George
Big Red.
Street. And thanks to the listener for listening, for going through the pain of another season with a brutal start. And for providing reaction via text, tweet, and phone call. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.